Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oz Lotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Welcome to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. Adam Scott's had a win on the weekend. We'll have a chat to Mark Hayes from Golf Australia in our next hour. We'll also be joined by Nicole Bolton, WA winning the WNCL for the very first time. Bryce Cotton is the NBL MVP for the second time. Nick Kaye has made the All-Star 5. He will join us tonight here on Sports Day. Looking forward to having a yak to all of those very special guests. Michelle Cowan, not too far away. Paul Hazelby has Fremantle thrashed the West Coast Eagles in the first derby in the girls' game.
G'day, Carl. What a weekend it was in all sports. So many great performances. But, yeah, they were too strong, the Fremantle team. And Roxy Roo, the rock star, took a couple of big marks, 2 goals. And, of course, Kiara Bowers continued to get it done. 18 tackles, Carl. I didn't even have that in my whole career. That's how well she's going.
Mate, she had 11 at quarter time, Hayes, and 21 is the record in AFLW.
Her record?
It's not her record, right. No. But 11 in the first quarter, and I had Adam Papalea scampering off to find out exactly who and how. We do know, Hayes, and it has been confirmed nice and early this time by the AFL, the grand final will be played at the 2:30 time slot. It hasn't moved.
I'm starting to trust the AFL a little bit more. They're starting to make some common sense decisions. Look, I want to change. I want to go to the twilight, but you're right. The one thing they have done...
Why do you want to go to the twilight?
They haven't let it go until May or June. I just think, look at the biggest football games that we have. Friday night's the biggest. It attracts the biggest audience. And I think a twilight or a night grand final would certainly do that. And Saturday night is also a very high rating time slot, more than in the day. I think it provides more opportunity for more eyeballs to watch the grand final. I think at night time as a player, I loved it more than playing throughout the day. I understand all the logistics of it, but there's my reasons. And you're pretty strong against. What are yours?
Well, I just like, from my own selfish perspective, Hayes, going out at a reasonable hour after the AFL Grand Final, because Melbourne's buzzing after an AFL Grand Final. And I think that by moving it back to that twilight slot, by the time you get out of the ground and into the town, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, because I already do East Coast games that are played at those time slots. So for me, from a personal perspective, and I think for families that like to take their kids along, it makes it a really late day, whereby finishing early, you can still go out with your family afterwards, you can commiserate or you can celebrate, and you can get home at a reasonable time rather than having to go to the nightclubs to enjoy yourself.
I think for the players and the fans, they probably like it earlier, because by the time you go out and get your medal, and then you probably, I think nowadays they're spending 2 and 3 hours back in the change rooms, and they're not getting to their fan base until very late at night. So that would push that back, but there's my reasons. And the AFL, Carl, have done it again in terms of making a good decision. We've been pushing this barrow all last week with the amount of players to come from each club. We want the very best in the All-Star game, and across the weekend they actually announced, I don't think it was an AFL decision, it was John Longmire and Damien Hardwick, the two coaches, came together and said, we're going to do it, let's have the very best. Let's have 5 and 6 players from the top teams to get them involved, because we were struggling to find the best players for Fremantle. We had Walters and Fife, but outside of that, you know, the player that would have been chosen for Fremantle probably wouldn't have played. But I like this idea. There is common sense at the AFL.
Well, mate, I said this to Paul Marsh, and look, this had to be driven by the AFL Players Association as well, and the clubs have to be on board. But I made the point that I would like to see State of Origin footy played every year. I'd like to see them play for some charity every year. And it doesn't just have to be bushfires. Yeah. There's plenty of other worthy causes that could generate money. That's assuming the players don't want to put it in their own pockets, which may well be the case in the future, Hayes. And that happens in rugby league at the moment with State of Origin series. But from my perspective, this was something that was warranted. You need to have the best players playing and enable, I think, if you've got 5 blokes from one club, and there's probably more in a couple of cases that should be playing, but anyway, 5's, I think, a little bit better meeting place from my perspective. 9221882 if you'd like to join us tonight, by the way.
And you have to have those players having a crack, and I'm not sure if you saw the NBA All-Star game today, but they reckon the second half of that, particularly the last quarter as well, they were going full throttle, and many believe it's the best standard of basketball that they've seen. They did it for Kobe. It wasn't Mickey Mouse. That's what they need to do in this charity game. Dustin Martin's confirmed. Trent Cotchin also confirmed today. Darcy Moore, it looks like he's in from Collingwood. Stephen Martin will be one of the ruckmen, with Maxi Gawn being out and Nat Nui unlikely to play. And Scott Pendlebury, after signing a contract extension today, he's going to be in there as well. Is he the best player that you've seen from the Collingwood Football Club, Scott Pendlebury? He's got another 2 more years. He's got a good resume.
Absolutely. Been a wonderful player.
Better than Buckley?
Probably not.
Mm.
I don't think so. Probably not. But still a very, very good player. And another year at least. That's what I found interesting. He may choose to walk away a little bit earlier. The other thing is, Hayes, is that when it comes to the All-Stars match, I had a look at the jumpers today. Did you see the All-Star jumper?
I did.
It's white with a gold A.
What is it? It's an A.
Upside
down.
That's an A, so for the all. And then there's a white star that sort of breaks up the A. Doesn't really do it for me. I don't know if you've had a look at it.
I did have a look at it. I didn't like it as well. The Victorian one looks fantastic, but
well,
it's
the same. The Victorian, yeah. The old V, you know, like for me, if you're a WA bloke, and this is what I said to one of the representatives at the AFL, you can still have all the Victorians wearing the big V, but why couldn't the All-Stars just be wearing their state representative jumper? So if you're from South Australia, wear a South Australian jumper. If you're from WA, you wear a black swan. If you're from New South Wales, you wear the baby poo blue. Because that's their colours. If you're from Queensland, you wear the old maroons colour. And from Tassie, you jump in your green.
Not bad. Don't want that from you.
Well,
maybe if the back's the same colour. So at least from one side, it is the same colour. And then you could integrate that. But you're coming up with some good ideas.
Thanks. We've got more. Now, I want to ask you, NRL Nines, on the weekend, 24,000 fans turned out. The North Queensland Cowboys got the job done over St George Illawarra in the final.
I thought it was a win. 14,000 in the grand final that turned up, 739. I thought across the weekend, that is a good result for here in Perth, but it does look like
and when
it's
you don't
be
have your microphone on, it makes it very hard for it to effectively work.
Tell Chris to turn
right,
the studio
let's do it.
Because otherwise he's going to be on our show.
No commitment coming from the NRL, Carl, in regards to this tournament next year and also expansion. It doesn't look like they want to expand into Perth at this time. And I think there's still some concerns, with the growth of the NRL.
There's no concerns whatsoever. They're smart. Mm. You know why they're smart?
Why?
Because what they do is they come and play their games here and take our money.
They maximise.
Where do you reckon
already?
The money's going? Mm. The clubs that play here, they're getting money, aren't they? And whilst there are some tourism benefits by bringing these games to Western Australia, because hopefully there's some East Coast traffic that are tracking out to the West Coast and spending some of their hard-earned, the clubs that are participating aren't doing it for nothing. The fans that are coming along, I mean, you only have to look at, say, the Bledisloe Cup match that was played here from a rugby union perspective. Mm. I think that's still got the biggest crowd at this stadium of over 61,000 people because they can make it a rectangular field. So there's some advantages by bringing
the hunger
games. They're
there,
not stupid.
It? Because you don't get to see it. And if they're only there twice, and with the Force not being there as well, people want to go and watch those events.
Righto. Now, AFLW, Michelle Cowan's going to join us very soon on the program in this first hour. But we saw Freo thrash West Coast, but we saw big crowds turn out, record number of fans have attended, probably from mine, not unexpected, Hayes, because there are more games being played, but there's a bit going on from a sledging front, which I wanted to talk about off the top of the show tonight.
Yeah, before we go to the audio, Collingwood defender Stacey Livingston. I love these comments. Now, she's played on Taylor Harris a few times to give a bit of background. Basically, let's have a listen to what she said after playing against Taylor Harris.
This is year four, so I'd like to know that I'd like to think that I know how to play on her already. But you just got to stop her in the air. That's her game. And if you can do that, she's useless.
Good work. I love those comments from Stacey Livingston. Now, clearly she had a task, she had a job to do, she had to spoil Taylor Harris, who is so good in the air, but when the ball does hit the ground, I don't believe she's as efficient. But who cares? There's been a lot of uproar and I've seen a lot of media commentary. Basically, they have taken her out of context a lot with the comments she's useless, but I think in AFLW, for this to be in the spotlight today, to take it away from the big All-Star game, this is fantastic. These girls are so honest with how they approach it, and I think it's a breath of fresh air because it is different to what the men offer. And you would have been a good sledger back in your day, and would you have given something like that to any of your teammates, or much worse?
Yeah, much, much worse than that, Hayes. Look, some of what I said you can't say on the radio, but that's all in the past. These days, things have changed, and unfortunately, we live in a different world. Now, do I think that that's overstepping the mark? No. Do people that have written that up as being steps over the mark? Yes. There's a number of people out there saying, oh, no, you can't say that. Maybe even her own coach might have thought that she probably could have used better words. But then Taylor Harris has hit back. She hasn't held back on social media. A lion never loses sleep over the opinions of sheep. Now, I would suggest that that is probably not so much directed at Livingston's comments, and that's Stacey Livingston that Hayes just spoke about, but it's probably more so those that have jumped on the bandwagon and agree with Livingston because of what's happened to Taylor Harris in the past. But, you know, for the public out there that are tuned in tonight, 922-11882, is there still a place for sledging in sport, or don't you care? I'd love to hear your thoughts tonight.
I reckon back in my day, there's no doubt that coaches would attack certain players. And I was a slow player, and I've no doubt that in meetings prior to those games, they would have said, stop Hazelby on the inside and exploit him on the outside because he's fat and slow. He can't run. He doesn't defend very well. So that certainly happened, and I think this is just an extension of that from Stacey Livingston. I hope they keep being refreshing and honest, the AFLW, because it's a very fast-growing competition. You mentioned the attendance, 67,000 across the weekend. Now, 35,000 helps, but also 7,000, Carl, in or on the Gold Coast. And you'd be happy to hear about fans turning up. It's almost more than the men's game.
It is. 922-11882. We'll take your calls after this. WA have lost their Sheffield Shield match to South Australia today. We've got so much to talk about. We'd love to get you involved in the program, and we'll tell you exactly what else has happened over the course of today next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oz Lotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Our number is 922-11882. Are you happy that the AFL Grand Finals 2:30 time slot remains the same, or are you someone like Hayes that wants to move it to a twilight time slot? 922-11882 is the number, or anything else that we've kicked the show off with tonight, or something that you might want to roll into the program. You're more than welcome to get involved. To Sam in Churchlands first. G'day, Sam.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good.
I thought the comments were, I laughed. I thought that was great, and it was refreshing to hear that sort of chatter. I suspect I'd love to see that continue across all other sports. However, I suspect that there was media managers going into each of the 14 AFLW clubs today and schooling the girls on speaking about structures and processes. So I'm pretty sure that you'll start hearing that trucked out next week, and that'll be the end of your refreshing comments.
Unfortunately, I think you're right there, Sam. I reckon the AFL would have done something about it. And just reading a lot of the articles, like in the media, we want them to be human. We want them to be honest. But when they say something like this, we do sensationalise it with a lot of the headings that did occur. And then all of a sudden, this is going to happen. The clubs will shut it down. The AFL will shut it down as well. But oh, it's sad because it is refreshing to hear it. And I think it was a strategy, basically, from the coaching staff. Taylor Harris, take out her marking ability. Once the ball hits the ground, she's probably not as good now. The word useless is probably not the best, but I certainly loved it. Thanks for your call, Sam.
Yeah, the rest of it that they probably didn't actually put in that article, Livingston says you just have to stop her run at the ball. If you can stop her aerially, she doesn't do that much. It's my fourth year playing on her, so I kind of know how to play on her. That's really satisfying, is the extra bits that they didn't put in that headline when they wrote it up.
She was forced to apologise, and there has been a phone call made to Taylor Harris, who was okay with it, but she can't wait for the next round. It won't be until finals if both teams make it, but that'll be worth watching.
Let's go to Ian in Rivervale, who joined us. Welcome.
Hey, boys. Carl, I jumped in the car just as you were talking about the rugby league, and after reading the article in today's paper and following it a little bit over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, the West Australian government's got to just turn the tap off to the ARL. If they threw $3 million bucks at the rugby league for this weekend tournament. If they spent $3 million on the AFL, they would get far more people over a season out of Victoria coming to Perth to watch AFL games. So tell the NRL, if they're not going to give us a fair go, they're not getting any more money.
Well, they've done that, you know.
Sorry, mate?
They've done that. They've thrown money at the AFL, and basically there was a campaign that came through today. I've seen the press release from our state government promoting tourism on the East Coast, similarly to what they have done with rugby league. That press release came out today.
Okay, but if the ARL are going to treat us like they are, refusing to give us a team in the competition, then let's stop supporting them. I know we got a big crowd for the State of Origin, but when's the next time we're going to see a State of Origin crowd game? We're not going to get one here for a long time.
No, you're probably right from that perspective, but there was 24,000 fans on the weekend. So, look, there is, from a football perspective, more inclined to go along to AFL and soccer before rugby league, or maybe not. I still think that, though, when I reflect back to, say, the Western Reds, when they were playing here, that didn't stop because they were unsuccessful and weren't attracting a crowd. They actually were, and I think this is the important part to recognise. We've got a lot of Kiwis, we've got a lot of South Africans who live in our market, and, you know, I think that from a union and a league perspective, I think they're more inclined probably to go along and support those sports and those sorts of football sports than they are, say, AFL or soccer.
I think we've got to temper our expectations too on some of the variety of sports and what makes a good crowd. I think 10,000 is a very good crowd. We see that with basketball. They're getting 13.5. The Perth Glory at about 10,000. I think sometimes we compare it with the AFL and the West Coast Eagles. Well, the West Coast Eagles are probably one of the biggest clubs in the world in terms of the attendance that they get to all of their games. And if you look at AFL as a whole, as an average attendance, I think it's the third best competition in the world for attendance
now,
as an average.
Now, I've just found the press release that came out today. Campaign urges interstate footy fans to stay and play in WA. Tourism WA's 2020 AFL marketing campaign launched on the East Coast. Now, the campaign targets Victorian, South Australian and New South Wales markets. Sporting personalities Abby Holmes and Matthew Richardson featured. Campaign will add to state government's recent work to boost domestic tourism. Interstate fans are being encouraged to head west to cheer on their team in Perth and stay and holiday as part of Tourism Western Australia's marketing campaign for the 2020 AFL season. So as I said, launched in Victoria, South Australia and New South Wales today into the lead up of the first AFL game that starts in March. And former Richmond Tigers legend Matthew Richardson will be in town this week. So we will have a chat to Richo here on Sports Days, doing a number of events around WA. Dory on Twitter says, you can't have every state's colours. I prefer the Allies in white with their state emblem. That's probably not a bad way to look at it either.
That's what I was referring to, with the back all one colour, and then the front you could have that emblem as well. Good work on Twitter. Now, we need to get to the dig, Carl. You've got a good one for us.
The dig. Dial before you dig. The essential first step.
Almost smashed my computer today, Hayes, because up on the screen came No Deal. You know that competition? Now, this was because of a report that was on ESPN's Crick Info. Now, they're pretty good, ESPN Crick Info. If I want to go and find all of the bits and pieces and statistical data that I use and rely on to do my broadcasts, brilliant Crick Info for actually finding a lot of that stuff. Now, reports Perth to miss out on an India test as the Gabba are set to host. Now, I don't know if this has been pushed by the players because of their record there, which has been so successful in the first test of a series, but Cricket Australia have since come out and emphatically denied reports that this is going to happen. They've said that, and this is Cricket Australia, they've labelled the article as false and are adamant that a decision was unlikely to be made at least a month.
Rubbish.
I reckon it's...
They know.
You reckon they already
they know?
Yep, so you
absolutely.
Reckon that's rubbish?
All the good journalists out there right now are saying that the first test will be at the Gabba, which means here at Optus Stadium we miss out. Even though we had better crowd numbers last year, we obviously had the game here against...
So you're saying that Cricket Australia are fibbing?
Yep, they know. We will get the Afghanistan game. Now,
Producer, just message the producer. Can you please get someone on from Cricket Australia tomorrow? Thank you.
Do we want to play here? I don't think the game would be at Optus Stadium, would it, if we played Afghanistan in the next series?
No, but do we deserve to have a test then?
Absolutely.
Against India? Do we?
Do we, yes.
Why?
Because we had a better crowd. And
no, we didn't. Stuff all came in.
No, we had more than was played at the Gabba. Now, they did play against Pakistan at the start of the summer. They had about 68 by memory. I don't know the numbers. We got around 80 for it, which isn't much better, but given the comfort levels here for the fans, and I think the
comfort levels
community,
at 40 degrees.
Well, it wasn't great this
comfort
time around, but also the Indian community here, we would easily get up around, I believe, 25,000-30,000 for the first couple of days in that test series. We should get one, but we're not going to, but it leaves me the question.
No, hang on. You're saying we're not going to. Cricket Australia have labelled the article as false. So if they labelled it as false, they haven't made a decision.
They probably haven't, but they're probably favouring Brisbane right now. What does it mean for the Afghanistan series? Would you like us to play them, or do we just give that away to somebody else? Will we go and watch Australia play Afghanistan here at Optus Stadium, or would we move it back to the Wacker?
I think that the amenity and everything here at Optus Stadium is worthy of having it here. How many fans are going to come along and watch us play Afghanistan?
12,000.
There's a few players that aren't bad.
Yeah, they're improving, no doubt. And I think we have an obligation. I'm not against that, but should we give it to a Hobart or, you know, a Tasmanian?
I don't know who I'm really digging at, Hayes. Don't dig yourself into a hole, but lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry. I don't know whether I'm having a dig at ESPN Crick Info for writing the story or Cricket Australia for talking tripe. So we'll have to wait and see. Because if the decision's not made in a month, we'll be having another dig about probably the same topic. We're going to get to a break. It's 6:30. You can join the conversation if you like. 9221182 is our number, and we'll have a chat to Michelle Cowan, as we regularly will here on a Monday, about AFLW on the weekend. Welcome back to Sports Day, Macca's Summer of Sport Update. Macca's minigames are here. You can play and win every time. And Michelle Cowan joins us to recap what was a huge weekend of AFLW. There was record crowds fronting up around the country, but the game I saw was between West Coast and Freo, and Freo flogged the West Coast Eagles by 45 points, the biggest margin of any game played over the weekend. Michelle Cowan, welcome. How are you?
Hey, good, thanks, guys. Good to be back chatting AFLW.
What did you make of the Fremantle Dockers? They were strong. Their tackle pressure, led by Kiara Bowers, outstanding. I imagine the girls were pretty sore at the end.
Yeah, they started really fierce and really well. I think it was about 33 tackles to 11 in that first quarter. So they certainly came out and made a statement.
What about Dana Hooker and also Emma Swanson? How do they pull up? Both got some head knocks.
Yeah, both have pulled up pretty well, actually. So all the girls were together down at the beach yesterday in their recovery, and certainly a lot to learn and take from round two for the group. But, you know, all in really good spirits, ready to take on GWS.
Gee, for the competition going forward, the development of Roxy Roo. Now, she is a rock star, the way that she's come into the competition, still figuring out her game. But I don't think I've seen a more pure marking forward come into the competition.
Yeah, she was part of our academy here at West Coast for quite a while there, so I had the opportunity to work with her, and she certainly is something special and showed that on the big stage on the weekend. So really good for her to see her perform in that way.
Looking around the league, Brisbane showed that their round one win was no fluke, beating Geelong by 19 this time.
Yeah, really impressive. Getting some score on the board as well, 39-20 against Geelong, which sees them at the top of the ladder of Conference A. So really interested to see how they go this weekend. And the other teams that I've been really impressed with after round two, I thought Melbourne Football Club, in those really testing and tough conditions on Friday night football, you know, they just look so dangerous, especially with that leadership of Daisy Pierce, who is probably level with Kiara Bowers as potential BNF winners for the entire competition. But it is early days, only round two.
My favourite game was Collingwood and Carlton. They've been at it for 100 years and it's only going to continue. The sledging in the AFLW. I love the comments from Stacey Livington about if you can stop her in the air, talking about Taylor Harris, that's her game. If you can do that, she's useless. And then Taylor Harris coming back today with a comment on Twitter. A lion never loses sleep over the opinions of a sheep. Now, you coached Taylor Harris. What did you make of these comments?
Yeah, Coach Taylor for a number of years and really admire the way that she goes about her football. But I'll tell you what, if there's a ground ball to be had and Taylor Harris is anywhere in the vicinity, she can certainly throw her body in, and she's pretty clean with her pickups below the knees as well. So I think she's got both. I think she's got the aerial contest, but she's also great below the knees. So Stacey, you know, some fiery words there, but yeah, I'd certainly back Taylor in any day of the week.
Do we like the honesty though? I think that's what separates a little bit the AFLW from the men's game, and Stacey clearly had some instructions from her coach going into the game based around, you know, to getting it done in the air, and to me it sounded like she was just following the instructions and talking about it after the game.
Yeah, quite refreshing. I guess we want to see just a bit of the human colours come out of everybody as well, and that's sometimes the great thing about AFLW, with even with Seven and Fox, you get this inside access to the coaches' comments, you get the players during the game, and it really opens the door to all of those comments. So yeah, AFLW provides us with that platform, which is great.
Who do you think is going to be the best of the new franchises, because all of them are struggling at the moment?
Yeah, impressive win for Gold Coast against Richmond, 33-22 on the weekend. So that was really good. Yeah, look, I think they are, but every week I think we see the competition improving. So you get to put in 5 or 6 days' worth of education into the group that we have, a group that are absolute sponges. So we'll see round three take another leap forward, and towards the back end of the season, I think these teams will go well.
Including the West Coast Eagles, do you think they'll get a win this year?
Yeah, absolutely. The girls are really driven to work really hard, you know, taking on some feedback from the weekend, which, you know, there was some stuff that we can clearly work really hard on. Some individual reviews that the girls got as well that they really need to embrace so we can be really competitive in this competition. So there's no rest for us. We review, we recover, and we work really hard on the track to make sure that we fly to Sydney this weekend and really look to get our first win against GWS.
Hey, Michelle, there's one thing that's telling me that this competition is getting better, because going back to the first season in AFLW, I think the dominant players in the first season are not so much the dominant players anymore. I'm talking about Kari Antonio, who was pretty good but hasn't been sensational. Ebony Antonio, another one, going back 24 months, she was the standout player almost in the comp. Taylor Harris, Sabrina Frederick Traub, Katie Brennan, another one from the Richmond Football Club. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of those young girls coming through that have played the game have really adapted well to the AFLW pressure. But, I mean, you can't budge the class of the Daisy Pierces or the Emma Carney and even Erin Phillips. You know, these girls are really classy and, I guess, really consistent in their approach to the game as well. But what's probably getting better is the ability to defend their influence on games as well. So teams have watched a lot of footage on how to maybe combat their skill, and they're doing that really well.
Looking around the league, and you've got a couple of Irish girls yourself, how do you think they're adapting to AFLW?
Yeah, they've only had 2 games of AFL, so I think on the weekend, you know, they were just deer in the headlights for a moment there. You could see them running through the banner and thinking, wow, this is the biggest stage that they've ever played any sport on, and the biggest crowd that they've ever played in front of as well. But oh, I love their honesty in the way that they review a game, and something we need to get better is our disposal under pressure. You don't have as long as you have maybe in the Waffle W competition to dispose of the ball, and we saw that. I think we had 13 holding the balls in the game on the weekend. So we just need to get better with that and be a bit more composed, but get it hand to foot a bit quicker.
Thank you very much for your time, Michelle. Appreciate it. Look forward to having a chat to you next Monday.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys.
Michelle Cowan, if you went along to the game, what did you think? There was over 30,000 of you there. 922-1182. Macca's mini games are here. Play and win for daily food prizes on the My Macca's app. More of Sports Day after this.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oz Lotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
922-1182 is the number. And as I said, there was over 31,000 fans that went along and watched West Coast and Freo play in the inaugural AFLW Derby. Have you changed your opinion on the girls' game? I'd wonder, because there was a very strong argument that they were no good. It's not a great spectacle. Has it improved, do you think? Have you been turned around? Did you have a negative opinion and now you've gone positive? Or have you gone the other way? The more you see of it, the worse you feel. 922-1182, entitled to make your opinions. Love to hear your thoughts.
It was a good battle, Carl, but it wasn't the best battle across the weekend. I know you like your racing. Alligator Blood up against Catalyst. Now, this was unbelievable. The call was fantastic. Stride for stride they went, and sometimes I think we're robbed of some of these match races. We had a lot of them in the past, but with a lot of the very best horses getting sold overseas, and particularly with our young colts, that as soon as they show something, they're getting sold. But Alligator Blood, Catalyst, both geldings in the CS Hayes, they went toe for toe for the last 400 metres, and this was only the first episode. They will meet again in the Guineas, then they'll meet in the All-Star Mile, and across their career, these two, because they are geldings, could race for the next 5 to 6 years. I know that's the plan for these horses nowadays, that they can race until they're 9 or 10 as geldings. Wouldn't it be fantastic to see these guys toe to toe that many times across their careers?
It was quite amazing, and look, just listening to the race call, can't wait till the Guineas. Mm. But Alligator Blood just has this uncanny knack of holding its head up and nose out nice and straight. And it's got this racing style that I've gone back and had a look at a few of the videos. And it's got this racing style in that it keeps its head up. I don't know. It's the nod still goes down, but the nose is out. And it was amazing that with the outstretched nose, it was good enough to beat Catalyst. But the Kiwis certainly have a very, very good horse there, and can't wait for them to clash, not only in the Guineas, but in the All-Star Mile, Hayes, and the blackout period has started. So we do need you to get behind our West Australian horses in with a chance. Blackheart, Barton, Regal Power being two of our leading chances to get a run. And, of course, Regal Power's campaign begins, I think, this weekend over on the East Coast. So be interested to see what it can do. On Twitter, RE, my State of Origin Guernsey suggestion. Morsey says 100% agree. Matthew says no, would look stupid. There are some mixed reviews, as you can expect. What I have suggested, though, is that each of the players that represent the All-Stars should be playing in their own state colours against the Vics. And it'd be pretty easy to determine where you've got to kick the footy to, and the suggestion came in from Dorsey. He said he'd like to see them all in white with the All-Star jumper that they've created, but have a logo from your respective states. And I think that that's not a bad idea either. I just think that the recognition of each of the other states needs to be involved in there somewhere, rather than just having this mixed All-Stars game that we've got at the moment. Hey, Hayes, let's turn our attention to the cricket, because we've got some interesting things happening both on and off the field. WA against South Australia, WA losing by 109 runs. Queensland defeated Tassie by 10 wickets. Timmy Payne made 61 there. Michael Nesser took 7 wickets, 4 for 18 in the first innings, 3 for 48 in the second, and Mark Steckerty took 2 for 13 and 3 for 62. They were the ones that got the job done there. And Victoria smashed New South Wales by 112 runs. Nick Maddinson, 95 and 105 not out. Thank you very much. Seb Gotch also made 100 in the first innings. And Marcus Harris, 54 not out in the second.
Well, Nick Maddinson, who replaces Will Pukowski in the Australia A match against England. So that's a sign that potentially Australia are looking at this guy, because since he was dumped by New South Wales at the end of 2018. He's gone to the Sheffield Shield. He's played 11 Sheffield Shield matches. He's made 1,211 runs at an average of 86.5. So he's going better than anyone. I saw a future star too. A guy called Will Parker. He's only 17 year old. He's a leg spinner from Victoria. He bowled 38 overs across the game, 4 for 89. Now, they are good odds for a young leg spinner to keep the economy rate so low, but to take 4 wickets, that was amazing. And you had your dig. I want to have mine too. This is about the West Aussies in the first innings. Now, slow cricket is not much fun. I know you've got to dig in. But Cameron Bancroft, 25 runs in 155 deliveries. Strike rate of 16.13. Carter's strike rate was 26. Sean Marsh, the only one that went over 50, he was 56. Stoinis only made one run, but 16 with his strike rate. Green, 28. Philippi, 39. Inglis, 32. Paris, 33. Kelly, 25. And Guthrie, 22. And Moody, 28. That is slow batting. It's just never going to get you a result or the right result if you go that slow. I think you've got to have a positive frame of mind. And for whatever reason, I'm not sure there was gremlins in the pitch, but they went really, really slow, Carl.
Well, I can tell you this, Hayes, that with the results that have transpired with, of course, New South Wales getting rolled by Victoria, that was their first win of the Sheffield Shield season. New South Wales had won five of their six matches.
No good without their star players.
But still, they'd won five of their six matches up to that point. They're still on top of the table. Queensland's second after their victory. Western Australia third. South Australia right on their hammer. 27.09 points to South Australia's 26.53. So WA with some work to do to now jump back over the top of Queensland, who have consolidated their spot. 922-1882 is our number. I want to talk about a press release. Well, it's a statement, actually, that has been put out by Tony Sage, the chairman of the Perth Glory Soccer Club, only a couple of hours ago, as we go to Gary. He wants to join us. G'day, Gaz.
Hey, boys. How are you? A couple of quick questions. First one, I'm bemused at Zach Merritt not being in the leadership group at Essendon and interested in your thoughts on that. And further to that, is there a more uninspiring captain in the AFL than Dyson Heppel? And then the second question, in and around the assistant coaches, who out of the assistant coaches do you think is the next big opportunity to do well as a senior coach?
Firstly, I was shocked too with the news of Merritt not being included in the leadership group, given he was captain for them last year in the absence of Dyson Heppel. He also won his second best and fairest. He must have done something wrong, or maybe they've got some elite leaders there, but you would think that he would be voted in. But it comes down to how many you put in the group. I think they've only got five. We saw today Carlton have seven. We saw the Brisbane Lions have nine. So if they had the leadership groups that size, then he would have been included. I like Dyson Heppel. I think he's a real good country boy, wears his heart on his sleeve, and I think the boys really rally around him. In terms of coaches, I reckon the next one could be Jade Rawlings. We saw him take over a few seasons ago, and he ran second, is my understanding, to the Fremantle coaches position, Fremantle Dockers coaching position. So outside of that, Jared Schofield could be one. He did, that's my understanding.
Did Dean Solomon didn't run second?
Third.
Right, there you go. All right. Look, I just look at the, say, coaches that have been named for the All-Stars match, Hayes. So with John Longmire, who's going to coach the All-Stars, you've got Stewie Jew, who's coaching the Gold Coast currently. Then you got Michael Voss, had a crack at it, didn't succeed, gone back, toiling away. He's at Port Adelaide. Mark McVeigh, only recently moved into coaching. GWS Giants is where he's working currently. Joel Corey hasn't retired that long ago at the Western Bulldogs. And Dean Cox is plying his craft over at the Sydney Swans. Now, they've all got aspirations to coach, and maybe that might be a little bit of an indication of who's in with a senior role. And then you look at the Victorians. Now, Damien Hardwick and Alistair Clarkson are the two, well, Hardwick's the senior coach, assistant Alistair Clarkson. Adam Kingsley has got a very good reputation.
Yeah,
he's at Richmond currently, and they've been successful, so he comes out of a very successful regime. Robert Harvey, who has been talked about, he's working at Collingwood, and then Dean Solomon, who I just mentioned to you, who said you reckons he came third.
He needs to get out of the Gold Coast Suns. I think that was the advice given to him. Like, I just don't see him getting a senior job.
But what if they work their way up this year and they get better?
Yeah, no, I still think he needs to, well, maybe after 2 or 3 years, if there's a period of dominance for the Gold Coast Suns. I'm not sure that's coming within the next 3 years. But, yeah, I'm surprised that he's still there, Dean Solomon. If it was me and you wanted to go to the next step, which I think he can because he's got all the traits of a good coach, you'd be smart to go to a big club like Collingwood, like Richmond, or maybe even the West Coast Eagles back here in the West. And the other one is Sam Mitchell. Carl, I think when he is ready, he'll put his hand up and he'll get a job. But I think there might be some master plan going on at Hawthorn with him and Clarkson.
Righto. We'll clear a commitment. We'll come back on the other side and tell you what's coming up after 7 o'clock. And tell you there's a quiz, and there's a chance for you to win a $150 voucher thanks to the wonderful team at Auto Masters. And just remember, don't dig yourself into a hole. Lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry. Hayes, just Dave, his dig. Happy to take your calls too. 922-1182 is the number.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oslotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Nice to have your company. New South Welshman James Duckworth had a win in India and the ATP event at Delray Beach. We're heading towards the US Tennis Open after the Oz Open, the second of the Grand Slam events for 2020. And Nick Kyrgios at the Delray Beach Open goes in as the number one seed. He'll take on Tommy Paul of the United States. Be interested to see whether Jordan Thompson can continue his very good form. John Millman is the number five seed for that. And Bernie Tomic has got a run, hey? So, what does LL mean prior to your name? Lucky loser. we didn't even practice that earlier either, everyone.
Talking about a few records, Mondo Duplantis. Remember the name. Now, last week we spoke about this guy. He got the new world record in the pole vault. Sergio Bubka's great mark. He smashed it. He got 6.17. Well, he's beaten again across the weekend, 6.18. Now, that is not good for our very own Curtis Marshall, who's going at about 5.81. He's got work to do, but he was hoping to get on the podium. 6.18. He's still only young, too. He's got a lot of jumping ahead of him.
When you think 6.18 and 5.8, it's only a ruler.
True.
Isn't it? It is,
but for those guys that try every day just to increase it by a centimetre or two. Yeah. Now, speaking about increasing it, this is unbelievable. You know the Nike Vaporflies? Now, they've come under a bit of criticism because of Kipchoge, who won the marathon under 2 hours. Well, listen to this. Ugandan Joshua Cheptegei, he smashed the 5 kilometre road record. Now, when you're thinking about these records, how many seconds do you think you might smash the record by?
10?
10. I would have thought, like, maybe 1 or 2, given how competitive it is. He smashed it by 27 seconds. That's like the equivalent of 250 metres, the way that they run. That is unbelievable. It goes to show how efficient these Vaporflies are. If I had these Vaporflies, Carl, when I was playing, I would have smashed, probably would have come third last instead of last in a lot of the runs.
You know what I'd like to see proven now, and we've got to go to actually the news, but I'd like to see with some other shoes on whether he can actually run the similar time. News is coming out next here on 6PR.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oslotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Okay, now off the top of 7 on a Monday, we have the Auto Masters quiz. A $150 Auto Masters voucher is up for grabs. Our number is 922-11882. All you have to be is last person standing, man or woman. 922-11882. We'll start off with caller number 7, and we need a couple of you in case the person that is lucky, caller number 7, doesn't answer the questions correctly. Great service guaranteed with Automasters. You can call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. While you're calling through, we'll have a chat to Russell in Rockingham. Hello, Russ, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Fitness is still going well, Carl, and the kilos are still coming off, mate, which is a good thing.
Good boy. Now, what did you ring about?
I've got a bit of beamy bonnet, guys, and I want your opinion without any excuses, because facts to me are that Ashton Turner's underachieved the last 2 years, even though he's had an injury, and when he's played, he's just played. Performance has been very average, and to me, the heat has to go on Adam Voges.
Ashton Turner isn't even in the current Sheffield Shield side.
Yeah, but when he's played, mate, when he's played.
Well,
he's out of horror, son.
Mate, hang on, Russ, he got picked in the Australian team.
How was his performance? Insipid, Carl. Insipid, mate.
Yeah, so who you having a crack at?
I'm having a crack at the leaders, at the Western Warriors, okay? But mainly Adam Voges, he needs to stand up. His performance with the Scorchers and the Sheffield Shield team speak for itself, Carl. Tell me what he's done right there, mate. He's had a brilliant side.
Who won, mate? Hey, Russ, who won the one-day international series this year? Who won it?
Please. Well, they go the early crow, mate.
Hang on, who won it?
WA did, Carl.
Righto, okay. So Scorchers had their chance in the Big Bash. You cannot blame, surely, Adam Voges for those couple of games where the players that he put on the park imploded. That game against Adelaide, specifically, if they had have won that game when they were smashing them to all parts of the ground and capitulated, surely you're not blaming that on the coach. That would have got him into the
leadership group, mate.
That would have got him into the finals.
No, I disagree. Their leadership, he's part of the leadership, mate.
Okay, and right now they're third on the Sheffield Shield table. Third.
Yeah, I fail to believe, Carl.
Well,
if you want to stick with him, that's fine.
No, that's the facts. Now, you're saying he should be... Are you saying you'd bone him, would you? You'd get rid of him?
His time's up, Carl.
All right, you're entitled to your view. Okay, I'm just giving you
the
facts.
In my opinion, he hasn't delivered the goods, mate, when he's been there. My opinion, that's my opinion. I'll stick with it.
Righto. If you agree with Russ or disagree, 922-118-82 is the number. Now, Brian is through the lucky caller number 7. If you want to call through now, 922-118-82, because if Brian doesn't get the first question right, then it's over to you with your chance to win the $150 Automasters voucher. Switch and save in your next Automasters service with only 40 branches. You call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. Hayes, you've got the first question for Brian.
Question 1, Brian. The Wildcats will play in their 34th straight final series, but how many championships have they won? Brian.
Oh, my gosh.
How many?
I don't know, so let's guess that it's 9.
Correct! Well done, that was an unbelievable guess. I'm not sure if you heard Langdon in the background, but well done to you.
I was looking out the window.
Switch and save on your next Automasters service with over 40 branches. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. Question 2.
Still laughing.
The WA Sports Star of the Year Award was awarded last Thursday night with joint winners Nathan Fyfe and who?
Oh, my gosh.
She's a golfer.
What's her name? The one that won that
tournament
out of the middle of nowhere.
It's a colour.
Hang on, are you guys mates or what? Are you going to share the prize?
Think
you
grass.
Done a deal?
Think grass.
Too late. Brian. Too long.
No, come on.
Sorry, Brian. There has to be a limit. has to be an adjudicator.
Where's the adjudicator?
Me.
Hey?
Who's next?
922-118-82 is the number. Who's next? Well, given that you bone Brian.
Okay. Sports Star of the Year Award last Thursday. Joint winners Nathan Fyfe and who? Carl gave a hint.
Righto. It's easy. That's why. Perth Glory, our chairman Tony Sage, has an update for members and fans from London. Now, he said this a couple of hours ago. He promised an update. He's been 2 days in London and having a crash course on all things crypto. And he has come out and said that he has found out that you can teach old dogs new tricks, referring to himself. He's also learnt that the sports industry and the cryptocurrency industry have more in common than what he had realised, and especially in soccer. Some of the clubs, the largest clubs in the world, have embraced the crypto industry and have successfully explored this new form of fan engagement. Now, understandably, he says back here in Australia, there's been a lot of commentary, opinion and scepticism about the new prospective venture, and he does understand why there are doubters out there. But he says, with all the education, many of us do not understand cryptocurrencies work, and that is how they work. But in the future, in the fullness of time, he says that more and more people will be educated and understand the synergies that exist between crypto and the football world. Let's go to our callers.
Okay, Todd, do you have the answer for me?
Yeah, mate, Hannah Green.
Well done, Todd. Okay, let's move on to question number 3. Great service guaranteed. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. John Worsfold is the longest-serving West Coast Eagles captain with 138 games. But who is second on this list?
Darren Glass.
Well done. Correct. 129 games. Shannon Hearn, 123. Won't go past him because Luke Shuey is the next captain. Question number four. Who won the NBL Rookie of the Year Award?
NBL.
Likely.
What's his name?
Likely to go number one in the NBA draft.
Oh, yeah, I know it, so I just can't think of his name.
Has a brother that plays in the NBA.
Five.
Yeah, is it LaMelo Ball?
Correct! There it is! He got it in time. LaMelo Ball did win the award.
Did you Google? Well done.
No, mate. I knew. I just couldn't think of his first name, that's all.
Good job. You're on the ball. Anyway, let's say that. And you're a winner, so stay on the phone, mate. We'll get your details and get you that Automasters voucher. Thanks to the wonderful team at Automaster, where you can switch and save on your next service with over 40 branches. You call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. Adrian and Wayne were waiting to swoop Hayes, and sadly, they will have to wait for another time.
Got to get in early.
An opportunity at doing that. Adam Scott has won at Riviera by a couple of strokes. We'll be having a chat to Mark Hayes about that. Jamie Cripps from the West Coast Eagles will join us in the not-too-distant future. For all you Eagles fans, he signed on for another 3 years, and he's edging close to life membership at the West Coast Eagles. We'll ask him about that. But Nick Kay has been brilliant this season for our Perth Wildcats. He and Bryce Cotton both named Hayes last night in the All-Star Five. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Second year in a row for him, and also for Bryce Cotton. He's now got into that team three times, but he's a real superstar, and it was a good win by the boys. They had Tarico White and Bryce Cotton not playing, but still got it done against Adelaide. And watch for more fallout, the Adelaide 36ers. I think they're going to lose a number of players, maybe even their coach. Who knows? They were very disappointing. Their back end of the season was disgraceful.
And Nicole Bolton, who's just landed back in Perth too on the back of hopefully celebrating a big victory in the WNCL, will join us shortly. Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, the finalists have been decided, and it is the Kings, Melbourne United, the Perth Wildcats, and the Cairns Taipans who are into the final four. But last night we had the NBL MVP awards. Bryce Cotton was voted that for the second time in his career, and Nick Kay was named in the All-Star First Five, and he joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Nick. Nice to talk to you, mate. Congratulations.
Cheers, guys, and thanks for having me.
Nice reward for a very consistent season. You must be really proud of the way that you've played both on the boards, and you've been shooting well as well, mate, scoring plenty of points.
Yeah, huge honour being named in that team, but I think it just comes back down to having team success, playing well as a group, and getting to that top two spot. So I think the better we play as a group, the better it looks for individuals, and I think I was fortunate enough with being on a good team with a lot of great guys. So,
2 years in a row for you, Nick, being named in that team. You must love the decision that you made to come back here to Perth, or not back, but come to Perth with your mate Mitch Norton, because things have happened since.
Yeah, really loving the time over here. Such a great place. Coaching staff is great, and the club's just so helpful that all you got to do is focus about basketball. And when you got that opportunity, you keep getting better and better, and just trying to do the best I can.
So. What about on the weekend? No Cotton, no White, no worries. You smashed Adelaide, really, 94-79 in front of almost another 13,500 fans, which was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the fans have been great all year turning out to the games. And, I mean, that game without Bryce and Tarico, the way all the young guys stepped up and really showed why they deserved to be in the NBL was awesome to see. And, I mean, what a way to build momentum towards the finals with all the young guys playing so well.
What about for you, your season? You had a slower start this year, but your last 2 months were absolutely superb. Do you put it down to anything? I know you had a very big schedule heading into the season this year.
Yeah, just, I mean, start of the season, just trying to find your way. I mean, obviously every year is different with the guys you got. Didn't have a whole lot of time pre-season, but at the same time, it's about doing what the team needs, and in that time, we're still finding ways to get wins. So it's been fun. It's been a great year, and I'm just excited to see how these next few weeks are going to pan out.
What about Bryce Cotton, second time the MVP of the league? What makes him so special to play alongside?
I mean, just the way he manages to do it game in, game out. Like, he's such a talent. He finds a way to score, whether he's getting double teamed or he's at the top with an ISO. But the way he gets other guys involved as well, he makes my job really easy. You set a good screen for him, and next thing you get open. So he's an easy player to play with. He's a great player to play with, and he deserves the MVP for sure.
Now, White and Cotton would have been playing if it was a final, right? They were just rested because you had the luxury that you could.
Yeah, I mean, at this time of year, obviously momentum's a big thing, but it's also about making sure guys are healthy, guys are fit and ready to go. And obviously, Tirico's had a few little niggles throughout the season, but to give him a bit of a rest, and Bryce is, as I said, been getting double-teamed every week here on screens and stuff. So to give him a chance to let his body heal and ready to go in a couple of weeks, I mean, the guys that when they're on fire, they're tough to stop. So, I mean, two fresh guys are going to be incredibly tough to guard, that's for sure.
How was the awards night last night? I remember last year you dressed up in your suits and there was no drinking from the Perth Wildcats table. I don't think every team could say that. Was there a improvement in behaviour from some of the other teams learning from you guys from last year?
I wouldn't say so. I think we kept with our usual focus towards the finals. Obviously, every team's different and the approach is different by different teams, but we try to stick around as a group most of the night, hang out together and really just focus on us. And, it was a good night because of that. We just got to enjoy each other's company, sit back and celebrate the success of guys like Bryce and Trev having his 300th.
Confident that you can beat Cairns in the first round of the finals given your games against them this year?
Yeah, I mean, Cairns have been a great team all year. They've got us twice and they got us convincingly at home. So they're a team you definitely got to be wary about. And if they're allowed to play it their style and the way they want to, they can beat anyone on a given night. So I mean, we've got 2 weeks to implement a great scout to have that locked down. And I mean, it's finals basketball. It's new season pretty much, and here we go. So confident we can get it done, but we're going to have to play well.
It's also an Olympic year, and I think the last time we spoke to you was in 2019. It's amazing how quick time goes, mate. We're almost at the end of February, and that Olympic Games in Tokyo is going to be on it before we know it, and you've obviously spent a lot of time recently playing for our Boomers.
Yeah, I can't believe it's already been a year since we were talking last, and the fact that it's that time of year is almost back around again. So, I mean, excited for the opportunity that's ahead. Obviously, there's a lot of work to do. And, I mean, the goal of the Boomers is to win that gold medal and bring it home. So no matter who's in that group, just want that success for the Boomers.
Absolutely. But the short-term goal, mate, is winning a championship with the Perth Wildcats. And you get a chance to go back-to-back. Thanks for your time.
That's definitely the goal, and thanks for giving us a call today.
Good on you. Nick Kay, he's an absolute star, the NBL First Five, and Bryce Cotton winning the MVP. Is he better than Ricky Grace, Paul Haseby, in your opinion?
He's a better player than Ricky Grace, but his contribution to the Perth Wildcats, nowhere near what Ricky Grace did, who did over a longer period of time. But no doubt, pound for pound, better player.
Be interesting to see, though, how long he stays and plays Bryce Cotton in our competition, because he could very easily stay for a much longer period of time and could very easily climb straight over the top of what Ricky Grace was able to achieve, which was quite magnificent. Nick Kay from our Perth Wildcats here on Sports Day. We'll come back after this and have a chat to Jamie Cripps. He'll join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Boost your sales with the Australian-made logo. A man that signed on with the West Coast Eagles for another 3 years is Jamie Cripps, and he joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Crippo. How are you, mate?
Yeah, going well. Thanks for having me.
27. You'll be, what, 30 by the time you get to the end of your next contract?
Yeah, I think it'll be 31. So, yeah, getting old. But, yeah, happy to sign on for a three-year extension and, exciting times ahead.
Pretty good decision to come back from St Kilda and work, I think, firstly under Worsfold. But Adam Simpson, he's been your coach for most part of your career, particularly when you really have blossomed. What is it about him that has brought the best out of you as a player?
Oh, he just lets you play freely. He lets you have a crack and play to your strengths. And, he's a really good person, so he's been massive for me.
Are you a better player with Willy Rioli in the team or out of the team? You're going to find out this year, particularly early in the season. And how do you cover such a player like that?
Yeah, obviously, he's on the round. It's going to be a massive loss. He's a freak, and he can do things that some boy or most boys can't do. So, it's going to be tough to fill his position, but we have got a few younger players coming through, like Jared Cameron and Jake Waterman can even play in there as well. So, there are boys there that can take that spot.
Does it change your role at all, Cripsy?
No, I'd be pretty similar, I would have thought. It won't change my role too much.
I know it's only a number, but 147 games under your belt, three away from 150, and life membership at the West Coast Eagles, that would mean something to you, wouldn't it, mate?
Touch wood. Get three games out this year. And, it'd be awesome achievement. Wouldn't have thought coming from St Kilda that I'd get 150 games out and a premiership with West Coast. So, obviously stoked and, can't wait to get them three games out.
I just want to know how distracting your good mate Mark Lecrae has been to you, because he's retired. He's probably now trying to educate you on how to kick goals, given that he's working down in the purple jumper these days. A little bit of banter going on between you blokes, because I know you've been out hunting for a few of those seafood delicacies lately.
I actually painted my floats purple for him. he's always on the phone trying to find out what I'm doing. I think he gets bored a bit now in retirement. It's always good. He's got the new boat there. So whenever he needs someone to go out with, I'm always keen to put my hand up and go out in his nice new boat.
I think it was only just last week, or at least in the last week and a half, that you went out and caught yourself a nice big fat jewfish. Obviously, as a young West Australian who's grown up along our coastline, it's something you enjoy.
Love fishing, love surfing. Obviously, good to find other stuff away from footy that you enjoy and hobbies and stuff like that. So, anything to do with the ocean, I try and do most weeks.
Crip up, there's a very good battle going on for the last list spot for the West Coast Eagles. Brady Gray's been training all pre-season, Nicholas Reid another one, and Jermaine Jones has come back from Geelong. In your opinion, who's winning the battle and what have they brought to the club so far?
It's all pretty close. Jonesy obviously rocked up today, haven't seen much of him, and the boys are all training the house down and putting their hand up. So, it's good to watch and be happy with any of them, really.
What about some of the big fellas? Can we expect to see them in the forward line this year? Bailey Williams, my understanding is he's training well. And Jared Brander, been utilised in a few different positions, but also on the wing.
Big pig, Brander. He's up on the wing. He's got a massive tank and can run all day, so he's looking very good up on the wing, but obviously he can play back and forward, so he can play in a few different positions. And Big Bales, he's an athlete. He can take some good hangers and good marks, and he can also pinch hit in the ruck as well. So the boys are looking sharp.
Jeremy McGovern, he's running out of time, but did he do much with the main group today?
It was a pretty light day for us today, but I think over the next couple of weeks, Gov's training's going to ramp up. So he's actually looking pretty good nick at the moment. I think he's probably lost a bit of weight because he's just been in the cardio room, so that's probably going to help him out for his return as well. So big fella's looking good, and I don't think he'd be too far away.
Last question before we let you go. Friday, Feb 28, you're playing the Bombers here at Mineral Resources Park, your home ground where you've been training. Are you playing?
I'll be playing. Definitely. Love to have a run around out here at Mineral Resources Park. It's an awesome oval. Get the lights going. We actually had a cracky game under lights the Friday just gone, and it's awesome. So looking forward to it, and yeah, hopefully we can get a win.
Sorry, one more from me. Day grand final or twilight grand final? Announced today it's going to be day, but what's your preference?
Don't really care, but I wouldn't mind a twilight game. I reckon that'd be pretty cool. Whatever, really.
All right. We'll let you go. You disagree with me, so I don't like you after that. All right, Cripper? See you, mate.
Yeah, no worries. See you later.
Good on you. So there you go. He's with you. Hey, you blokes. You're clothed. You're clothed in the same cloth. You drink the same water from that part of the ground.
Full of lead, too, up there in North Hampton.
That's probably the problem. Anyway, we won't get weighed down with that lead right now. We'll move on. 922-182 is the number if you'd like to join us here on Sports Day. Thank you to Jamie Cripps from the West Coast Eagles there. And it's Kia's open season with match-winning deals and Australia's best 7-year warranty right across the range. Welcome back to Sports Day and Crown Perth Sports Update. This summer, you can live a little larger at Crown. I know who's going to be down at Crown, hey, celebrating in the next few days. That's if they haven't gone too hard already. Our girls, WA, WNCL Championship, they've won for the very first time. And one of the stars is Nicole Bolton. She joins us here on Sports Day. Nicole, welcome. Congratulations. How are you feeling?
Yeah, thank you very much. As you can hear, I've lost my voice. So, it was a decent night celebrating our first title win. And, we've all woken up feeling pretty good about ourselves today.
I tell you what, early, though, after you post a very good score, they got themselves going and they're a couple down for just over 100. But once you girls got going, I know why you've lost your voice. There was all the squealing out on the field.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of moments throughout the match where we were pretty nervous. I mean, that opening partnership, those two young girls and Trenerman and Darko going really well. And I think for us to break that, we really changed the momentum. And, yeah, we had to stay pretty upbeat as a fielding here. So I think that's a few girls that have lost their voices to yesterday.
It's a team game, but you were outstanding. 67, you came in two when the team was in trouble, and then 3 for 34 off your 10 wickets. You must be super proud of yourself, because for yourself individually, it's been a pretty tough 12 months.
Yeah, it has. And I think, I sort of look back on the season, and I had a bit of a terrible time over in England during the Ashes. I didn't perform the way that I would have liked for Australia. And, I really set my mind on coming back into this WA group and in this environment and, getting some fun back into my cricket. And I think, the WA group always welcomes me back with open arms, and to be able to play a bit of a big role for this group this season has been awesome. And to win the title, I think there's no better feeling at the moment.
Nicole, do you still harbour ambitions to get back into the Australian team, and do you believe that you can do that?
Oh, that's a really great question. I think, when I sort of reflected on that Ashes and coming back and playing cricket, I was trying to take out that pressure of playing to get selected. And I think as soon as I've done that, I've just been able to relax a little bit more and enjoy my cricket. And, whatever happens in the future happens. I think I'm sitting pretty comfortably at the moment with, where I'm at. And, hopefully those sort of decisions get taken out of my hands.
You're a true all-rounder now, aren't you?
Mm.
Hey, you're taking wickets, you're making runs.
I'd like him to put all-rounder. No, I don't. Look, I think it's a term used pretty lightly. I know everyone sort of gives me a little bit of stick as being an off-spinner, but I, probably turn 1 in 100 balls. But everyone keeps playing for the turn, mate. I mean, how hard is it? If it's on the stumps, just defend it.
Yeah, but you're taking wickets. And the thing is that when I look at your economy rate and compare that against some of the mainstream bowlers, not only in the one-day international competition, but your domestic competition, your numbers are stacking up.
Yeah, I think it's just been something over the last few years, in particular the shorter format and Big Bash, play quite a dominant role with the ball. And I've really tried to take that into my 50-over cricket and sort of adapt to that format. And, Chloe Papari entrusts me in some, big moments in the games and the power plays. And, that's something that I really love. I love the contest. Most of the time, I think when you're sort of batting and bowling, you always feature in the game, and that's what I like to be doing.
24-year history of the WNCL. This competition began in 1986-87. It's the first time we've lifted the Ruth Predley Cup. How did it feel when you did that for that moment?
Oh, I think it was it was the last over that Piper Cleary was bowling, and Collie brought everyone up, so we're all in the ring. And then to get that final wicket and actually realise what we've just done, That was a bit of an emotional feeling, and then to finally lift that cup and then celebrate it with family and friends, I think it's been a lot of hard work. I know with the WACA Cricket Board and Christina Matthews and making sure that, you know, we've got a world-class program, and, you know, we're just really thankful that we've been given that opportunity to be able to win something for, you know, not only them, but, you know, the previous players that had done it tough over the few years.
And you had to beat New South Wales. Now, their record is amazing. 21 out of the 24 tournaments they have won. They did have some stars out. We've got to admit that. Healy, Haynes and Gardner back into that batting order. It makes a little bit of a difference, but you still got to get it done.
Yeah, that's right. And New South Wales is such a successful unit. I think they had seven debutants this year, and they've got a really young group. So they just keep producing cricketers over there. And we knew that in a final, New South Wales is very, very competitive, and they still had a couple of senior players, and Renee Farrell and Sarah Ailey, that, you know, are big game players. So, you know, we had to bring our best game. And I think, you know, where we're at as a group and the experience that we had got us over the line.
Leading run scorer, Hayes, third highest wicket taker in the league, Bolton, named as the WNCL Player of the Season. See, she's talking herself down, but we're going to talk you up. 436 runs and an average of 48.44, and you were the first WA player to ever pass 400 runs in a summer, and you took 16 wickets. Come on, Nicole. That's exceptional.
Yeah, I actually was just saying before, I don't think it's really sunk in, you know, what's just transpired over this season. I think I'm heading around to be with my family later this afternoon. I think I'll actually probably take a moment and just reflect on the season and what I was able to achieve personally, but also what we were able to achieve as a team. Because, yeah, I think you're saying it all then. Like, I still don't quite believe what's actually just happened.
And you need teammates to get it done too. Emma King, very good three wickets. And Heather Graham, she's had a terrific season in all formats of the game. Very unlucky not to be included in the T20 World Cup squad for mine.
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, I mean, I guess her pain of not being picked in that World Cup squad meant that we got Heather through the back end of the season, which was huge for us. The role that she's played with the balls was instrumental. I know she would say firsthand she would have liked a few more runs, but I think she showed a lot of leadership over this season. And Emma King's bowling's been outstanding. I think she ended up being the second leading wicket taker for the competition this year. And she just comes on, does a job for us, and gets bulk wickets. So, you know, I'm just really pleased that someone like Kingy, who's been around for a while, was able to lift the trophy too.
Now, I need you to settle something. You're at the bushfire appeal game. You didn't play. You pulled out late, but you had the best seat in the house. Who was better, Hazelby or Langdon?
Well, Langdon, when you went in at the end, mate, like, swinging like a rusty gate.
She's laughing at you.
That's exactly what the commentary said. I thought I was actually getting my foot to the pitch of the ball, Nicole. But when I had a look at the replay, I was nowhere near it, was I? It was disgraceful. And then I got smashed by Mitch, and you told me you had a side strain. That was the only reason I was playing, because you pulled out. So it's your fault.
Yeah, well, when I threw the bat into you, mate, I at least thought you were going to put that on
board. Now, enough of me. It's back to you now and your team. Who was best off field last night? Who celebrated the hardest and the longest into 2020 after this achievement, hey?
Yeah, great question. I think everyone really enjoyed it last night. I'd probably say that Emma King was probably best on ground. I don't think anyone else could actually rip the trophy from her hands last night. So, yeah, she had a tight little mitts around the Ruth Pretty Cup. So, yeah, she took a little bit longer than everyone else to get going this morning. But, you know, when you're waking up and you've won WNCL title, it's pretty good.
The King, we like that. Now, what's next for this group of girls? Is that the season done?
Yeah, so that's our state season done and dusted. So we've got a little bit of a break this week, and then we'll come back together and train still as a collective until the club season's done. So, yeah, we've been rewarded with a bit of a week and a spell, which will be nice. It's been a really long season for a lot of people, and especially our support staff. I think they could do with a bit of a break as well. But we're going to get together tomorrow as a group at the WACA and with staff and celebrate as well.
Great job. Well done. Congratulations again. And thanks for having a chat to us on Sports Day.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for all your support throughout the season as well.
Good on you, Nicole Bolton. And this summer, Crown is the only destination where things are bigger, brighter and more fun. Golf Australia's Mark Hayes and John Slavich will update us with the latest in lawn bowls here in WA will join us. Welcome back to Sports Day, Barra and O'Day's Green to Green. Barra and O'Day, because the little things are everything. And Mark Hayes joins us from Golf Australia. Welcome, Hayesy. How are you going, mate?
I'm fantastic, boys. Been another massive weekend for Australian golf. I sort of feel like I'm on repeat saying that to you, but it just seems that we've got good things happening all the time at the moment.
We do. This time, Adam Scott, he won the Genesis Invitational, his 14th win in his career, and he went at 11 under. What a terrific performance by Adam Scott.
Pretty unbelievable, really. He's won nearly 30 times worldwide now, and there's barely been 1 year since he turned pro, I think twice since he turned pro, maybe, that he hasn't won in a calendar year, and he's already ticked off 2020, and for the first time in 4 years, almost, wins on the PGA Tour. But as you said there, Hayes, the 14th time on tour, which is a phenomenal number of events. And most importantly for him, it takes him up into the top 10 in the world for the first time in 3 years. So he's back to number seven. And, just one of those remarkable wins. I think it's the course, I understand that it's the course that he rates the most in the United States. So it all fell into place for him today. Magnificent flops on the 15th when he was really under the gun to set it up, and then just hanging on the last couple of holes. So just hats off. It's just been a remarkable few weeks. If you think about his win at the PGA Championship in Australia, since then we've had a win on the Asian Tour, two wins on the European Tour, and now three wins on the PGA Tour on the men's side. It's just unbelievable.
Wayne Ormsby, Cam Smith, Lucas Herbert, Mark Leishman and Minwoo Lee last week. Are we overachieving or underachieving here in Australian golf, do you believe, Mark?
that's a ripping question. I like to think that we're doing what we could and should, but on a realistic scale, you think this is a red letter couple of months for us. It doesn't happen very often that we win twice in succession, let alone, as you mentioned there, six times in the space of 5 or 6 weeks. It's just got a flag sort of all over the place on the leaderboards. It's amazing. I'm actually blown away. If we had, we could go through a PGA Tour season and not see an Aussie win. So to have three by the time we've chalked up 6 weeks of golf, it's unbelievable.
What about on the women's side of the ledger? Of course, the last time that we spoke to you, you were in Adelaide in advance of the Women's Australian Open, and Imbie Park got the job done.
Yeah, and look, we would love to have seen Minji Lee or Hannah Green get the chocolates there. There's no doubt about that. But what we've got is one of the all-time great names of women's golf. In fact, all forms of golf salute and get her name on a trophy that we love and cherish. So it doesn't get much better than that unless you're, you know, helping or getting Australian over the line. Imbie Park turned it on. She was very forthright and emotional in press conferences before the tournament, saying she needed to win a couple of times to fulfil her Olympic ambitions later this year. And she's got to win twice, according to her maths, to do that. And she's done it once here in Adelaide. She's got her eye on a couple others that she doesn't normally play as well, leading up to the deadline of selection in late June. So, oh, it was awesome. Honestly, I hadn't watched her play in person, and to see her do it and just control the field, just sort of keep them at arm's length when the whips were cracking, it was unbelievable. It was great stuff.
Hannah Green tied for 13th, Minji Lee tied for 25th. Who do you think's going to have the better career when it's all said and done out of those two?
Oh, geez, you're asking me the tough questions today. Mm. Minji Lee's definitely got the leg up to start with, and she's already got 5 wins, although Hannah took 2 out of her last year. That's a really tough question. I admire them both. I would say that will depend on who plays the longest, because I both think they'll chip away. Neither had their best game. Hannah finished still inside the top 15 this week, and I think that's an indicator of where they both are, that even without their best, they're strong enough mentally to hang on and pick up a paycheck that sort of keeps the bank manager happy. That's too tough a question. I'm gonna have to sit on the fence and get some splinters there. I think if one of them plays for a lot longer, I think it'll be that person, because I think they're going to be very similar.
Good on you. Mark Pickett's Hayes there from Golf Australia. Thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it, Hayesy.
On your voice.
Good on you. We'll have a chat to Hayesy later on in the week, or someone from Golf Australia, as we go for Green to Green and Barra and O'Day, because the little things are everything, to John Slavich, who joined us. Welcome, John.
How are we doing?
We're going really well. I heard you had your pants pulled down on the weekend.
Double V travelled out to Cardinia. It was a close game on three rinks, but unfortunately my rink got an absolute thumping. We didn't make double figures. We only scored 9, and young Kevin McKay gave me quite a nice touch-up. He got to 33, so it was rather shellacking. Cardinia went away with a point, so, yeah, sad day for Double View, and, yeah, he... I needed a few beers after that one, that's for sure.
What do you put it down to, Johnny, when you have a performance like that? Is it your preparation not right? Do you get carried away with your recent success?
Look, it all does come down to preparation. It's a mental state. You find you get in those situations and sometimes you can't get out of that hole and just seem to be making the same mistakes at the same time. And try and get that movement and flow back onto your advantage. You wait for that opportunity in the game and you think, okay, we're going to win a couple of ends. And from there, we can kick on and maybe get a few points on the board. But unfortunately, we weren't very good. We made the same mistake. A lot of times, our preparation on that rink and a few times during the day wasn't quite up to par, and the scoreboard showed for that. And unfortunately, Double V weren't able to come away with a chocolate for Cardinia. It's a hard place to play at, but that's no excuse. And they did very well.
What happened in the rest of round 13?
Yes, we had Mozzie Park took out Warmbrough. That was a 95-71 victory there, 7-1 aggregate. Osmond Park didn't do the job against everyone thought against Bassendean, 92-69, 7-1 to Bassendean. Manning took a 99-63 victory, which was 7.5 points to half point over North Beach. Cambridge took out South Perth, which is probably the surprise of the round, 79-63 with a 7.21 victory, and that was set up quite well by Peter Harris out of Ross Breslin. Clive Adams did a great job over against Scotty Walker. So Double View still hang on to top spot, 70 points. Hot on their tail is South Perth with 68, Manning 66.5, and Bassendean holding up the top four on 64.
What about for the ladies?
Yeah, look, Melville are rocketing along at the moment. They just took out Gosnell 60-51 for a 5-1 win there. North Beach did the job against Safety Bay, got the full 6 points. Unfortunately, Mundaring not having the best of years. They've only won the one game this year, and Aussie Park was just way too strong for them. They collected a 78-37 victory there. Thornley took on a Moslem Park, but Mozzie Park actually got the chocolates there by 14 shots. 5-1 aggregate win to them. And Sorrento couldn't get the job against the high-flying Manning. That was a big one, 75-46. Manning kicking, collecting the full 6 points. And Manning are still on top with 60. Aussie Park hot in their tail, 56.5. Mozzie Park and Melville reigning at the top four.
Tell us more about this bushfire appeal fundraiser, North up against the South. The South always wins.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a good battle for North versus South. It's all happening this Friday, the 21st of February, at the South Perth Bowling Club. It was an initiative started by young Ashley Sharp, who is a member of the South Perth Bowling Club, but he's managed to get a lot of great bowlers around Western Australia, some legends from around Australia, to come and play at the one venue, all for the bushfire relief fundraiser. So the lawn bowlers are all getting out there. They're all chipping in. They're hopefully going to have some raffles and auctions and a lot of sideline antics to help raise some money for, obviously, a great cause. On the green action starts around 6:30 with plenty of music, barbecue, snacks and beverages available all night. We're lucky enough to have Brad Shepherd from the West Coast Eagles play for the North side, and Brad Hogg lining up for the South. Steve Glasson, who is an Australian selector and one of the absolute legends of our sports, flying over for the game. So, look, it should be great. It's going to be a big night at South Perth and for a great cause.
Good on you, mate. Thank you for joining us tonight, and we'll have a chat to you next Monday.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoy. Good luck.
John Slavich licking his wounds after being rolled on the weekend. For Barrow Day, don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. Tomorrow, just after 7, AFLW coaches Trent Cooper from the Freo Dockers, he'll be gloating, and Luke Dwyer, he'll be licking his wounds too after getting thrashed by the Freo Dockers on the weekend. Trevor Gleeson will be bubbling, I reckon, into another finals campaign, and they will now take on the Taipan, who finished with a 16-12 record, and the Bullets are just missing out too after Melbourne United edged ahead of them on points difference. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for your company. After the news, it'll be Chris Ilsley with...